To me, the connotation of beloved community makes you feel warm and gives you the sense of belonging. As our quote for this week's service by Dee Hock says, the essence of community, its heart and soul, the things we do and share because we care for others and for the good of the place. One of my ongoing spiritual challenges is how I integrate my Peruvian earth-honoring spiritual tradition with that of being a member of a UU church. Given we're at the time of the summer solstice, which is a time of great spiritual reverence in my tradition, I'm going to be integrating the UU concept of beloved community with the concept of the three attributes, which I'll be talking about later, or values, you can think of them as values, in my spiritual tradition. I felt this was particularly important as we enter this period of transition in our church, as it calls us to be aware of our outward and inward actions reacting to change. First, I thought I should explore beloved community from the UU perspective. Just so you know, I usually like picking a topic that requires me to do some research and forces me to learn something in the process. So, according to Reverend Shirley Strong, the term beloved community can be traced back to Josiah Royce, a 19th century American religious philosopher. Royce characterized the beloved community as a spiritual or divine community capable of achieving the highest good as well as the common good. Royce believed that every proposed reform, every moral deed is to be tested by whether and to what extent it contributes to the realization of beloved community. When one cannot find the beloved community, she needs to take steps to create it. And if there is no existence of such a community, then the rule is to live by, to act so as to hasten its coming. Royce held that each individual should strive towards this goal of beloved community, and that the more the individuals joined the effort, the greater the possibility was of achieving it. He believed that this would lead in time to the radical transformation of individuals. And Reverend Strong's discussion, she points out that beloved community is just not community building, but is tied into spirituality. The spiritual side, Reverend Strong says, is in the sense of being connected to something greater than ourselves, something whose inherent outcome is the creation of beloved community. Reverend Kirk Lodeman Copeland has written an article about beloved community and covenant. In it, he says, UU churches aren't organized around a creed of right belief, but are organized around a covenant of right relationships. He says, if we are to create the beloved community, we must be willing to sacrifice some of the rugged individualism of ourselves to balance the narcissistic me with the communal we. So we have to balance that narcissistic me with the communal we. He goes on to say, it is also necessary to continually tend these relationships to prevent the tapestry from being damaged. Just like a garden, our mutual promises that we make to each other sometimes break and need to be tended, renewed, even replanted, or revised. To be in covenant, a right relationship in beloved community, it takes practices in many behaviors. As Lodeman Copeland points out, one behavior is compassion. It takes compassion for us to look and understand our own motivations and behaviors in conflict. We need to look inward at what are my anxieties and fears. I know sometimes when there's conflicts, that triggers my own issues, and I have to be careful about my reactions. First, I need to deal with my personal reactions, and I need to own my own feelings. If I do not, I am more than likely, as probably my spouse knows, to be a little too direct, harsh, or hurtful. I certainly don't want to dump my issues on someone else. Another behavior, Lodeman Copeland points out, is that it takes courage to engage those in conflict, not to be spectators on the side, but to walk in and minister to all sides for the well-being of the community. It also takes commitment, people to come forward to take care of our property, hold others up, nurture our children, spread our faith. Without this, the community would not flourish. We all have our own ways of helping this church, mowing lawns, coffee service, RE, doing worship arts. We do what it helps us to move forward as a community. Trust is another behavior needed in beloved community. People can come as they are and be encouraged to grow. The community is safe as you are accepted for who you are. You are free to be yourself and share your deepest beliefs like I'm doing today. I know that I truly appreciate a community where I can be out about my beliefs and be accepted. This is one of the reasons why I joined LCUUC. After all, trying to be a pagan in this area doesn't work in many churches. Lodeman Copeland also notes that beloved community requires the practice of looking at each other with the soft eyes of respect. It is understanding and respecting each other as human beings with all the foibles that come with that. With these soft eyes, we need to fight gracefully and fairly. So we create this beloved community through the practice of commitment, trust, compassion, courage, the soft eyes of respect, and the practice of arguing fairly and gracefully. Through these actions and behaviors, we can come into right relationship with each other. Phew, that doesn't sound easy. Now that we've explored the UU perspective, how do I as an individual get to that place? On one level, living in beloved community means that we need to be in right relationship with ourselves and the world we live in, the sense of harmony between our inner world and our outer world. In a way, beloved community is showing our lived values, how we behave in the world. As in our reading, there is a spiritual side to our service and community. As Doss and Gorman said, it is not only what we do, but who we are. That sense of harmony between our inner selves and our outer world, how do we get there? Well, we have a lot of different practices. We show them frequently in this community and in this church. I posit that one means is through the three attributes that I have up here, or virtues. These three attributes help us live in accordance with the natural order in the Peruvian earth-honoring tradition. They are known as Yankai, Munai, and Yachai in Quechua. Yankai, the first attribute, is understood to be hard work, labor, industriousness, and manifestation in the physical world. One analogy might be a person working on the basic needs in Abraham Maslow's levels of hierarchies. More simply put, it is doing our jobs and our work in our communities and taking care of our basic needs for food, clothing, and shelter. Munai, the second attribute, is that deep feeling of compassion and love, and perhaps maybe it's more like completing the emotional level of Maslow's hierarchy. You may dispute that with me, but it was an analogy that I could come up with. The love of our families and friends is displayed and shown in our actions and also just in our way of being. Yachai, the third attribute, is an attribute to wisdom that involves acquiring knowledge beyond intellectual standing. It is moving to a spiritual understanding. It could be self-actualization. Translated to UU speak, it is related to our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are part and acting again in accordance to that understanding. When these three attributes are brought into fruition, there can be harmonization of the body, yankai, mind, yachai, and heart, munai. It allows us the inward and outward behaviors and actions to be in harmony within nature, or as in our reading, our particular talents, our unique qualities that are more likely to come, that are likely to come forth more reliably when we have a richer and more spacious sense of who we are, the very promise of spiritual practice. How did these three attributes come into being? In the Peruvian context, think about how this might play out in a small rural community in central Peru. These three attributes become an organizing, communal, and spiritual principle that are adapted to the geography of the place. At the same time, the attributes are human enough to be adaptive to universal relevance. In this community, you need a person to help someone to grow the food, tend the animals, maybe weave, maybe educate. The attribute of yankai, hard work, industrious, these are physical actions and very individual. In this community, people tend to each other. They help the elderly, take care of the sick, look after the young, educate the children. Munai, compassion and love in action and being. These are the emotional activities that play out in our families, friends, and community. And in this community, by doing your part, a person sustains the community. It is developing the wisdom to pass on to others about what a person does best and see it in its context to the larger world, thus enveloping the spiritual side and your interconnectedness to the world. Yachai. The three attributes can build, grow, and sustain a small community, a beloved community. It allows us to be in harmony with the universal patterns of nature and natural order. It allows us to have accretive growth and to be in the right relationship with each other and the world we live in. It not only is what we do, but who we are. So how can I apply these three attributes to the UU beloved community? First, yankai, my work as I contribute to the church. It is that power of commitment, being a good steward of the church for the community. Practicing munai provides the compassion, trust, soft eyes of respect, as Lodman Copeland said, fighting gracefully as we are guided by our compassion and love. And yachai, coming from that spiritual center, reverence for life, wisdom, our seventh principle. All in all, it allows a person to live a life guided by compassion, reverence, selfless service for beloved community. As Das and Gorman pointed out, we work on ourselves then in order to help others, and we help others as a vehicle for working on ourselves. Do I do this consistently in my life? No, I'm a work in progress. It does remind me how I ideally should walk in the world and how I should cultivate community practically and spiritually by modeling these three attributes, yankai, yachai, and munai. It is said that we walk into this congregation as strangers, but over time we walk out as friends. During this time of transition, beloved community is so important. It is our right relationship with each other that holds this church together as we go forward. The three attributes of yankai, munai, and yachai give us another way to create the inward path for showing our lived values externally. Of those coming to congregations, Unitarian Universalist minister Richard Gilbert writes, willingly they come, eagerly they come, expectantly they come. One by one, they move through those determined doors, each with their own histories, unique journeys of spirit, singular experiences of joy and sorrow. They form themselves into a human circle, surrounding the question they've come to answer. They give length and breadth and depth to who they are. Wonder or embarrassment. Hands tentatively reach for hands, meet in tender touching. Squeeze, hold tight, release, smile. And know it has been good to be together. This is the way that belonging, service, and the three attributes of yankai, munai, and yachai are deepened into beloved community, is what we can do each Sunday.